And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there was 8,341 people have been diagnosed with HIV in Ireland since the 1980s. And on the line now, I have Robbie talking to us this morning. Good morning to you, Robbie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about HIV. What else would you be doing in the morning?
And thanks a million for sharing your story with us, Robbie. And I suppose highlighting again, HIV, because I don't know whether it's just me, but I haven't heard that much anymore. I know a couple of years ago it was all be careful, you know, use condoms, use clean needles, and it doesn't seem to be much there anymore to kind of highlight and to let people know, especially our young people.
Absolutely. So up until 1996, people were dying of HIV because there was no medication out there, so HIV progressed to AIDS. So obviously then there was a massive public health campaign going out there to reduce the deaths. But then in 1996, we got highly active antiretrovirals. So it's a combination of three HIV drugs. What that does is it stops the virus from replicating. So if the virus doesn't replicate, well, then your immune system can work as normal. So people weren't dying of AIDS. And within that then, because people weren't dying of it, the government became complacent about it, and the public, it kind of went out of the public sphere then. I was born in 1991, so I completely bypassed all of that messaging of AIDS and the sexual health messaging, and I'm a gay man, so even sexual health, like, I knew how not to get a girl pregnant in school. Yeah. That's all I knew coming out. So yeah, when I was 21 getting the HIV diagnosis, it was a shock because I didn't even know HIV existed in Ireland. Even though, as you described there, over 8,000 people have been diagnosed with HIV in Ireland. So there's thousands of us living out there, but yet there's very few talking about it.
Now, for people who are listening today, Robbie, and I know it's probably just, you should know, how is HIV passed from one person to another?
So there's a few ways. The main way in Ireland is through unprotected sex. So it can be passed on through vaginal fluids or semen. And you're more likely to pass HIV through anal sex. So that's why most people who are high risk are most people who practice anal sex. So it can be passed on from mother to child during childbirth, and it can be passed on from sharing needles as well. Now, we know that HIV medication is so good at getting the virus so low in your body, we call it undetectable viral levels, that now we know you cannot pass on HIV. The risk is zero. So although, yes, you can get HIV from unprotected sex and from mother to child and from sharing needles, we know now that if you actually find people living with HIV, we get them on medication, we get them undetectable, that they will not pass on HIV as well. So the routes that you can pass on HIV, if you find the people who are HIV positive out there, get them on medication, get them undetectable, to become non-infectious.
Now, Robbie, you were quite young to be diagnosed with HIV. It must have come as a shock to you. As you said, you didn't really know much about it because, as we said, it hadn't been out there as much. It's gone back probably before you were born because the government had come up with this medication and probably didn't think it was that important to be getting it out there. But when you were diagnosed, it must have been a big shock to you.
A shock is an understatement, yeah. To say the least. Because I went back in because they told me my gonorrhea test came back inconclusive because it's my first ever sexual health check. I was just every 3-year relationship. I was 21. I got a test because I was going to move to Australia a few months later. And I was saving up to finish my 4-year degree in UCD and I was heading to do my dream job there. So I was a bit shocked when she sat me down to say my HIV test came back positive because I had no idea. I forgot that I even got that test done. And the first question I asked was, can I go to Australia? Because it was my dream since I was very young. When you're HIV positive, you can't get a residency visa in Australia or New Zealand or Canada. It's where all my friends are moving to at the time.
Oh, really?
So that was devastating for one. But then I asked, am I going to die? Because no one really knows the difference between HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
And when you say you hear HIV, you hear AIDS, and you just know when you hear AIDS, it's like the person dying in a bed, you know? So my immune system wasn't great, actually. You know, I had to go on medication straight away. And, so I was just told, you know, you have to go on medication straight away. Your immune system isn't great. I had to get things chiseled off my tongue. So I had leukoplakia. I might have had oral cancer. So this was all hitting me at once at the age of 21. So it was a shock. And I knew no one living with HIV.
As no, I was going to say, did you get, was there any kind of organisations, or anyone there, a help line, a help group you could have gone when you were diagnosed to kind of, it's an awful lot to take in for a 21-year-old, did you get any help and support for your emotional health?
So Open Heart House, which was a HIV support group, closed down a few months before I was diagnosed. So that would have been the only kind of community-led project that was happening at the time. But I have to say, the social work team in St. James's Guide Hospital were incredible. And so they were the emotional support. And I guess I was quite fortunate in the fact that I had my mum with me the whole time as well. So the minute of my diagnosis, they asked, do I want anyone in? And I was like, yeah, can I have my mum? And I say I'm quite fortunate to do that. It's like, I know hundreds of people living with HIV now, and very few of them would come out to anyone, let alone their family. So since I had that support group from the very beginning, you know, it's really helped me. It's really helped HIV not become an issue in my life.
Yeah.
But it's something that I really needed at the beginning. And it saddens me to know that all my friends that are living with HIV feel they can't even go to their family or friends with HIV.
So status. There is a stigma still about surrounding it.
Absolutely. I've been out about my status for a good while, and I have to say, like, 99.9% of the people have been absolutely amazing. I think we underestimate how sound Irish people are. Mm. You know, we all have our ways, but at the end of it, we're all really nice people. However, you do hear horror stories of, you know, people saying on dates that they're positive on the fifth date, and people just getting up and walking out, you know? And it's devastating, because these people are just, like, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, they're non-infectious. They're going to live as long as anyone else. But people think because they're positive that it's a stain on their character. And it's a shame, because I've met some of the best people I've ever met because through HIV. Yeah. And it's sad that other people can't see that. Exactly. And I always bring it down to education. If people don't know about HIV, of course they fear it. Of course they fear people living with HIV. Yeah. But once you get to know the person behind HIV, once you get to know that once you're on medication, you can't pass on HIV. You know, people become less stigmatizing. People get in relationships now, you know, so there's a flip side to that. I know lots of people who are HIV positive who are in very fulfilling relationships. You can have children, no problem. You don't have to wear condoms in the relationships. So, there is stigma out there, but within the LGBT community specifically, we're doing a lot of HIV campaigns because we're a high-risk group. But to go into the wider public, that's where we're letting ourselves down.
And Robbie, when you said you had a blood test, and that's when you got the diagnosis that you had HIV, did you have any symptoms beforehand? Like, were you feeling sick or anything?
No, so that's the thing about HIV. You don't get any real symptoms until, you know, you could progress to AIDS. So you could be like 5-10 years of HIV in your system.
Yeah.
Until your immune system is so low that you get symptoms. Now, I had it for around 3 years, I found out, because I was 18. Then I got in a 3-year relationship, and then I found out about my status. And I was tired. I got a bit skinnier. I had that leech foot I couldn't get rid of. And I had those growths in my tongue that I sort of had to be chiseled off. Well, I just took them down to stress, because I just finished my finals of my undergrad at the time. And then I was saving up to go to Australia. So you don't think, oh, I have HIV. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
normal things.
Yeah.
But
as you said, you didn't think of that at all, because you were planning to go to Australia, and the shock when you were told. But I know this probably sounds a bit weird to say, but it's probably the best time to be diagnosed right now because of the medication and improving all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, people have a problem with me. Like, I don't say it's just a pill, because you have to go twice a year to the clinic. You know, you have to, it's a constant coming out story for a lot of people, you know, men and women. About their status, you know, you're constantly putting yourself in the face of stigma unnecessarily. So I wish you could just say it's a very manageable chronic illness, because we live as long as anyone else, you know, and it is just a pill a day. And the side effects profile of the medication now are so low. I know so many people who take the first medication and never have a problem. So medically, we're absolutely fine. And I'm loath to say it's just a pill a day, because there's a lot on HIV and which we're fighting for. But it is. Medically, it's literally just a pill a day and 2 trips to the clinic a year. And actually, some studies in Scotland have shown that people living with HIV live longer than the HIV negative community, because trying to get a heterosexual man to see a GP is impossible. Well, you're kind of forced to see a consultant twice a year. So if any issues come up, you know, they're being addressed.
And what about your medication, Robbie? Are you on a lot of medication every day?
No, one pill.
One pill a day. Oh, God, are you?
Now, I'm on my fifth option. Yeah, I'm on my fifth option of HIV medication. Because I went through the mill. You know those really rare side effects? Well, I seem to be the unlucky one. My ma keeps telling me I should get a lottery ticket. But it's just the doctor's describe is like a woman trying to find a contraceptive pill. You know, find the right one for
find
you.
Find the right one that
works for your body. So, yeah, and that's basically what it was. And it's mainly one. Now, as you grow older, you know, like everyone else, you'll probably be taking your hypertension pills or your high blood pressure pills or whatever. I have to say, at the age of ripe age of 27, I'm happy to say it's just one pill a day, no side effects. I'm undetectable. I'm with my partner for 4.5 years.
Right.
And we don't have to wear condoms in our relationships because he's zero risk of contracting HIV.
Really? Great. And how, like, when you were diagnosed first, how did you first tell people when you were dating? Were you upfront? Did you tell them straight away?
Yeah, so interesting question because everyone's experience is really different with this. When I was first diagnosed with HIV, I was very happy to be able to come out to my family and my friends straight away because I never even came into my head to think of me differently because we have really close relationships. There were five people who I thought maybe they were at risk of contracting HIV, either how I got it or I could have passed it on. So I went face to face with them in the first 2 weeks of my diagnosis. And it was a very hard thing to do, but it was also, I was quite like, if I didn't know anything about HIV, they certainly didn't know anything about HIV. So I felt like there was urgency there for me to tell them to go and get tested to know their status, because that's the most important thing. And everyone acted really maturely. It was a really good conversation, and they all got tested. Coming on to future relationships, I had two partners since then. I was going to wear a doctor. So I was like, a doctor should know about HIV. That should be fine. Mm. And he acted okay with it, I guess. But my partner now, Morris, I have this 5-date rule. Because you might not want to tell someone at first date because you might not like them. You might not progress to the second or third date normally. So I think the 5th date is normally a good indicator of whether things are going to go further or not. So that's my 5-date rule. And then you're opening up the relationship honestly, and it worked well for me. So
and you're happy.
Lucky.
You're happy in your relationship. Yeah. And have you ever been discriminated, like against at a workplace for having HIV?
In a workplace, no. Now, I'm quite fortunate to work in an area of HIV.
Okay.
So, you do hear some people have issues with people with HIV, but enacted stigma within the workplace, you know, there's very strict discrimination laws that need to be followed up with HR, and I really have to push people if they say negative stuff happened in work. I'm like, well, you need to fight for this because this is your right to work in a safe and happy environment. But as I say, the majority of people, if they come out and work, majority of people are very understanding. They're like, you know, if you need to go to the clinic, that's absolutely fine. You can take the morning off. Work is generally fine. And if they're not, I say, go to places like HIV Ireland, Gosh, or Sexual Health Clinic in Cork, and they tell you the procedures to go down the line, you know, to really empower patients to take ownership of their lives.
I think, but really, we need to be educated a little bit more. As you said, like, it was out there a few years ago, people talking about it, and a lot of people are kind of a bit confused. As you said, like, you're 27 now, but when you were diagnosed at 21, you didn't really know much about it at all. So you have people who are quite ignorant sometimes and don't really understand a lot of it, saying, oh, I'm not drinking out of that cup, or you can get it from kissing and all that. But, you know, do you think it's education? We need to educate our younger people.
Absolutely. So one job that I do is I go around to universities and I go around to secondary schools to talk about HIV. My story, living with HIV, but also I talk about international development and global health stuff. And one of the things I like to play is just this game where you walk to one side of the room if you think what I say is true, and the other if I think it's false. And one question I always ask is, do you think you can get HIV from kissing? And the young people always think that's a true statement. And if they don't even know that's very basic concept, how will they ever think that that HIV will ever affect them? And then they always say, like, if you get HIV through kissing, you probably all have HIV by now. You know, it'd be a very, very easy virus to transmit. And that's with the young people, and it's that much better with the older generation, even though they went through the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Levels of knowledge, I don't know if it just seems to have dissipated, whatever, but my conversations with them, they still don't know the breakthroughs of medicines that have happened. So there's still a lot to do on all sides of the age spectrum.
Yeah, I think we need to get it out there again a little bit more. And for drug users as well. I mean, that has to be taken into account as well, like clean needles.
Absolutely. And, you know, clean needles, and the reason why, so HIV, once it hits the air, it dies instantly. It's such a fragile virus. So if you see blood on the ground, like, oh, it could be HIV infected, like, it probably was, but the virus is dead. Now, the reason why you can pass on HIV through needles is when you shoot up, a bit of the blood comes out into the needle, which is airtight. So no air goes in to break down the virus. And then the person puts that little bit of blood back into its veins, his or her veins. So that's how the virus is so high, HIV virus is so high between injection drug users. That's why clean needles are so essential and that we really promote within the injection drug user community. But also one like, there's a few people who are forgetting here, and one is women living with HIV. And I know so many women living with HIV in Ireland, and they account for around one quarter of new HIV diagnosis. And if you, like, at least the LGBT community, there's a sense of community there. You know, there's a bit of history there. We kind of know about HIV, and there's kind of a legacy there with HIV within our community. But for women living with HIV, they're kind of decentralized all around Ireland. They feel very isolated. They find it extra hard to find relationships. I know mothers who refuse to tell their children they're HIV positive. You know, there's just so much campaigning that needs to be done for women living with HIV, because we all media try to get women living with HIV to tell their story, but we cannot find one to tell openly about their story. And even though there's thousands of women living with HIV in Ireland, and it's such a shame that they're in, that we don't have an open, safe country for them to feel that they can be fully open about themselves. That's, that links into self-stigma and shame.
Exactly. That has to be worked on as well, and to reduce that stigma against women. You know, Robbie, thanks a million for talking to us today, and thanks for coming on and telling your story. And hopefully some, I know they're still working and there's not a full cure yet, but hopefully down the road there will be a full cure for HIV. But thanks a million.
I'm positive there will be. I'm positive there will be.
And you're
if
doing
a vaccination and a cure.
Yeah, true. You're doing very well anyway in yourself.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for giving me the platform to go and talk about HIV and a little bit of my story.
No problem. Thanks a million for sharing your story, Robbie. And we have to get it out there a little bit more. Thanks a million.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.